On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. J.P. Finley here. This is a big deal. This is a big day. I got the local celebrity Mitch Tischler to my right. Mitch, how are you, buddy?
What's up, guys?
Pete's here. Pete, say hello.
Hey, guys.
The good news is Mitch is back, so he can mute Pete as needed. Although there are some comments, some of the folks leaving reviews are saying to be nicer to Pete, let the kid talk. So we're gonna try.
I'm not gonna be driven.
You
by
just
those
ruined
reviews.
Your intro.
I just ruined it. Taylor.
You're building to
I
that.
I was building the whole
mute
intro.
Mute Tandler. We need to mute Tandler. I think.
No, Pete. What? Stop talking, Pete. Tandler, I literally was building a whole intro saying that you were here in studio and not on the Lazy Boy.
Oh, okay. I keep on trying to recline this chair. It's not working.
Tandler with zero chill. All right, lots to discuss. I want to ask Rich Tandler, Mitch and I were at the Alex Smith event the other night. You were probably in the Lazy Boy during that event. I assume you read, listened, watched our coverage. What are you starting to think of Alex as the Skins are rolling him out as the new face of the franchise?
No doubt.
And I'm curious kind of your thoughts on him so far.
So far, so good. You know, he just seems to be very, I'm starting to like the no social media aspect of it. So we don't know everything he's doing every minute of every day.
And he doesn't know what we're doing every minute of every day, because players can say they don't pay attention, but players that are on Twitter are paying attention all the time.
Yeah, they know. But, you know, I think he's a class act, a good guy. And I think, you know, if, again, it comes down to like you guys talked about last night. The wins and losses are going to kind of dictate his legacy here. But if he is successful, I don't think he will be the polarizing figure that the last couple of quarterbacks here have been.
I think right now it's easy for everybody to like everybody until you throw an interception or have a fumble. Everything's good.
I mean, what could the guy really do right now that would make us be like, we don't like him? You know?
Well, he could be a jerk.
Right.
I mean, there are things you could do.
Sure.
Like, we all do things between the four of us that we don't like about one another all the time.
You guys like me for everything.
One thing that...
That was very dismissive.
One thing that... Pete's over there stewing. I can just look at him. He's angry.
I'm already salty.
What are you mad about? You played golf this morning. The rest of us have been working.
2 seconds ago, you're like, let's be nicer to Pete. And then you threatened to mute me and told me to shut up, like, right after that. I'm staying.
No, that was a listener suggestion, which I personally rejected. I don't know about the rest of
it. I liked it better when you were in your Lazy Boy, Tandler.
We got Pete muted now. We're good.
Jeez. There's a situation that sucks, and I don't think Alex Smith has any idea all of the dumb stuff that surrounded kind of the demise might be the wrong word, but like the end of the Kirk Cousins era. Like, Alex Smith shouldn't have to deal with it being a big deal that he plans to buy a house. Most quarterbacks buy a house. Most NFL players buy houses. And for Alex, he doesn't get why he's being asked that. So he just answers it like, yeah, why? Of course I'm going to buy a house. And the reality is, Kirk often mentioned that he wasn't buying a house, that he was just renting because he wasn't sure if there was a commitment. even though you're making $44 million, dude, you could probably buy a house. I just find it sucks for Alex, but I don't think he cares. You know what I mean?
No.
It was super funny to watch his reaction to it because he was so taken aback. Like, he didn't know.
He said, is that unusual here?
Yeah. Is this for real? Like, this is what you're taking your time with the media to answer this question? Right.
And that hadn't been unusual until Kirk. Right. I imagine every other quarterback has bought a house. I don't know about, like, if Danny Warfel bought a house.
John Beck was buying a house. Yes.
John Beck should rent.
Wherever
Airbnb
he goes.
For John Beck.
Yeah. I didn't realize Airbnb has, like, long-term rentals as
well.
Yeah.
I learned that. I learned that over the
last
few
years. Alex Smith is not staying in the rookie hotel, I'll tell you that much.
That's right.
Well, he's not a rookie.
Well, players who come in short-term sometimes stay in that rookie hotel for extended stays.
Is that the Embassy Suites right there next to the Shell station?
Yeah.
There's some Ashburn local geography for you if you're interested. You know where I ate for the first time? Here's a random plug. Ford's Fish Shack.
There. Oh, that's good.
That place is good. Good.
It's very good. Back in the day when we used to have a break between practice and media availability,
right,
people would go get lunch or whatever and bring it back and eat in the media room. Ford's Fish Shack is great.
That smell, dude.
Fish that and room chips, is too small for
fish and
fish
chips
smell.
Is not a good
that
amount
smell
of look for that
sticks
room.
With you, man. That's an intense fish smell. We are really burying the lead here. We have an awesome guest in this podcast. Trevor Maddich joins us and breaks down. We kind of presented him with a few different things. We presented him with Vita or Daron Payne. We presented him with Minkah Fitzpatrick or Derwin James. These are all options at 13. And then Tandler dug in a little bit about the running backs, about when do Redskins go running back? What running backs do you like? I'm not going to reveal it. You guys are going to have to listen. But he kind of sold me on a running back that I wasn't sold on before. Mm. So I think, what do you think, Tandler? Were you sold on his suggestion?
I was already sold on this.
Oh, Tandler knows everything. Shocker. What don't you know, Tandler?
I'll let you know when I figure that out.
All right.
I don't know what I don't know. That's dangerous, though.
Briefly, preseason schedule revealed. It's a preseason. Nothing to get too jazzed up about it. Two things stand out to me. One, going to Boston. Going up to New England. Shipping up to Boston.
Providence.
But the game is in Massachusetts. You are so annoying, dude.
Foxborough.
The team will stay in Providence. Yes, I know.
Is it tiring to be you and just like second guess everybody and everything that's said?
I think, but as far as a visit to it's tough. It's tough to get to Boston from Providence.
Oh, my God.
You're a walking autocorrect.
Oh,
everybody,
no. Just what a wet blanket.
Yeah.
Dude. All right. They're playing New England.
Right.
Okay. It's kind of cool. A little bit. I recognize it's week one of the preseason, but anytime Belichick's on the sideline, it's got some juice.
Which is cool. I'm just saying, maybe a visit to Fenway Park is not going to happen because you're not really in Boston. That was my only thing.
But it'd be cool if we could.
And all right, I'm moving on.
Hold on. Quick Boston story real quick. We were at the last time the Redskins played up in New England. Tarek El-Bashir, who used to cover the team, and I are hanging out writing our post-game package after the game.
I feel like people that listen know who Tarek is.
All right, well, just whatever.
Right.
And by walks Tom Brady after the game on the way out, and it's just like, hey, what's up, guys? And Tarek and I both kind of look at each other, and we're like, oh, that was kind of cool. And our utility, our freelancer that was working with us was like, yo, did you guys see Giselle? And Tarek and I were both like, nah, we saw Tom Brady. It's cool, man.
You just missed Giselle?
We just missed Giselle.
What a bunch of mutts.
It was a thing.
What an idiot. I saw Giselle. I went up to Foxborough, Tandler, to cover when the Ravens played the Pats in the best football game I've ever seen in person. You remember, I think it was 2014, the unbalanced line. No, that was in Baltimore. It was when the Pats brought out the unbalanced line to beat the Ravens were up two touchdowns. Giselle was walking around post-game, and I saw Giselle, which was pretty cool. So that's my one note. Going up to Foxborough, Tandler, is very cool. And it's kind of weird that the Broncos are traveling all the way to D.C. for a preseason game. Usually travel is kind of minimized during the preseason. It's kind of a haul from Colorado to I guess it's not D.C. technically. It's
right.
Maryland. It's Landover.
It's actually, yeah.
So those are my preseason notes. Anybody got anything to add?
I was... Obviously, the Patriots came down and practiced in Richmond a couple times. Any chance you guys think that the Redskins will, that they'll be able to figure out a way to go up there and spend some time? Because
teams want reciprocal. Oh, you mean to go up there?
Yeah. No, the Redskins go up there and practice a couple times in Foxborough, New England.
So Michael Phillips, who covers Redskins, he's like the mayor of, what's his title now?
He's a sports editor.
Executive sports editor.
I think he wears a tuxedo to work every day. So Michael Phillips, who's a friend of ours, is a former Redskins beat guy, now is the sports editor down in Richmond for the Times-Dispatch. He's been on top of kind of the Skins deal with the city of Richmond for training camp and has said that the city of Richmond pays the Redskins to come down there for training camp. And who knows what politicians you can believe, but some politicians would like to get out of that deal. And maybe this could be a breaking point. Like, hey, you guys can go have your practices elsewhere, but we're not going to pay you. Something like that. Because the Skins are locked into X number of practices.
Right, right.
And that's what's prevented them from being able to reciprocate a training camp agreement. Hey, you come here, we'll come there next year.
Not to belabor the point, but you guys remember when New England came down last time, you saw a market change in the way that the Redskins treated training camp. I mean, you had one field, you had the Patriots who were before practice lined up, stretching, running, doing whatever they were doing, post-practice running and doing stuff. The Redskins handled it a much different way, and you saw the team with Kirk and
it
company
night and day, dude.
Yeah, start changing the way that they approached their training camp. So I think there's definitely value in spending more time around a team like the Patriots.
It's still not close.
We did a podcast last camp with Phil Perry, who covers the Pats for NBC Sports Boston, and he just talked about their pace and how much hitting they do. And it's just, I don't think there's any team in the NFL that runs camp like the Pats, but the Redskins certainly aren't it.
Certainly could help them being around it.
Sure.
Pick up some tips.
All right, we're about to go to Matic. I have one more topic, Tandler, I have two more topics. One can be brief. Pete claims he's a very good tipper. Do you believe him?
Yes.
Wow. Mitch?
Honestly, I didn't think Pete knew how to calculate tip.
Pete?
If I get bad service, they get like 17%. And if I get good service, it's 20%.
All right, but
those people work hard. They deserve to be tipped. And I'm good at calculating.
Who are those people?
Excuse me.
The night of the podcast party, you did not know how much to tip.
It's because I haven't seen a bill that large. My brain couldn't go that high. Normally, I'm tipping off like 50, not 250.
All right. Matic comes right after this. We had an idea that I'm going to let Pete explain the tell-a-friend policy we are implementing. Pete, tell people what to do, and then Tandler, confirm that you're actually in on this.
Okay, so Redskins Talk Podcast is growing. You hear us talking about that all the time. However,
momentum is real.
We want you Redskins fans to tell other Redskins fans in your life who may not have been fortunate enough to hear about this podcast about it. So if you tell them in person, if you text them, if you tweet them a link, if you whatever, let us know. Let Tandler know on Twitter, at TandlerMBCS. You will write a tweet. You will send him a screenshot. You will tell the story. Say, hey, Rich, I got my buddy Joe into Redskins Talk Podcast. He loves when you hang out in the Lazy Boy. He loves hearing Pete. And then Tandler will then retweet that tweet with maybe a quote tweet if you're lucky and say, hey, welcome to the club. Thanks for listening, whatever. And as I said before, being retweeted by Rich Tandler is a huge deal. It matters. It carries weight in this area.
So, Tandler, on a scale of 1 to 10, how little do you like retweeting random people?
Oh, I do it every once in a while, but not.
So, like a scale of 1 to
3.
Yeah, like a 2.
Yeah, 2 or 3.
All right. Well, but you're committing to this.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Tell a friend and he will retweet
the podcast. I'll be more than happy to.
And one lucky fan will get to pick something out of Rich Tandler's closet.
No, that will not happen.
That will happen. And before we go, Tandler has also committed to hosting the next podcast party in June at his house.
All right, Trevor Matic, here we come.
Yeah, all right, it's time for Matic. Folks, thank you. Enjoy this interview. Matic, as much junk as we just talked for the last 10 minutes, Matic has nothing but real football knowledge.
Well,
enjoy
and a little jerky.
And we talk a little jerky, too.
Jerk.
Party at Tandler.
I'm a good tipper.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
We are very excited to have our next guest, Trevor Maddich, joining the podcast every Sunday during Redskins season. Trevor watches me make a fool out of myself during the checking in segment, and you've always been very gracious and say you actually enjoy it, and I appreciate that, Trevor, and I appreciate you coming to talk to us a little bit before the NFL draft, man. How are you?
I'm great, JP, and I do enjoy it, legitimately. I think you're terrific and you're fun, and I absolutely am glued to the screen when Chip throws to you when we're doing Redskins extra and Redskins pregame. So it's tremendous fun.
I appreciate that, man, and I think your analysis is top notch. And I know I have fans like stop me in the street when they talk about our pre and post game stuff and say how much they love, especially when you and B Mitchell kind of go back and forth. But you know that today we want to lean on your immense college football knowledge. For the people that live in a cave that might not know this, Trevor does anything and everything for ESPN on their college football coverage. And you know more about college football than I'd argue maybe anybody out there. And you put the time in and you drive around to spring camps and you drive around and meet all the coaches. I love the story you told us of Saban takes the time to meet with you because he knows you put the effort in. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I've discovered. I'll drive around every offseason, literally from Nashville, where I live, to L.A., to Seattle, from Miami to Boston, and from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. I'll put in 10 or 12,000 miles. And I've discovered that the coaches do appreciate it when you actually show up and ask them questions.
So, yeah,
it is tremendous fun. But I think I've become the world's foremost expert on beef jerky, though. That's what sustains me on the highway.
You're a beef jerky man, huh?
Man.
It's good. What are you, a spicy guy? Teriyaki? What do you like?
It depends. You know, normally either teriyaki or regular if it's daytime. But if it's nighttime and I'm trying to stay awake, there's nothing that'll make your eyelids sweat like jalapeno beef jerky. Just to keep you awake.
I thought you were going to say they have like caffeinated beef jerky now or something.
Man, there's places out west that have like, they have beef jerky that's every flavor imaginable and every meat imaginable. If you want buffalo jerky, I don't know, they might even have cat jerky out there somewhere. I didn't see it,
turkey jerky, maybe?
Me. Yeah, I wouldn't support the cat jerky, but turkey jerky, absolutely.
So, Trevor, so you know, Rich Tandler and Mitch Tischler are in here as well. We could sit here and talk about jerky for hours, but our listeners want to hear Trevor Maddich talk about the NFL draft and specifically what the Redskins should do with the 13th overall pick. Trevor, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. What should happen at 13?
Well, general concept before we get into specific players is that they should take the best player available. A lot of times fans look at a hole in the roster and they want the team to draft the best player at that position. But if there are other players that are clearly higher rated on the Redskins board, then by taking a guy for position and not for best available means that over the course of the long haul, they're populating their roster with less overall talent than they could have. So let's start with that. So they should reach for a position. But if you've got a couple different positions that are rated close, where the top players available are pretty close on your board, then I think they should really look for defensive line if they can find it. They should look to get faster and more athletic at linebacker. And if they can, it never hurts to add guys that can run and cover. And there should be guys available in all three of those positions when the Redskins draft that are really good choices.
All right, so let me ask you a few folks that Skins fans are really interested in. How would you pick Vita or Daron Payne?
I would take Daron Payne. Daron Payne from Alabama, Vita Vea from Washington. On paper, and at times on film, Vita Vea is the guy that will seduce you. He's 6'4", 347 pounds. He did 41 reps on the bench press at 225 at the combine, and that is absolutely insanely strong. And sometimes he plays like it. But other times he'll disappear on you, and that's a little concerning to me. He ends up on the ground a lot, which is also concerning to me. I think his upside is higher than Daron Payne because he's more athletic, he's bigger. But Daron Payne is the kind of a guy that you can plug in and know that he will give you every play. Every play, he will show up one way or another. And for Vita Vea in college, there were times when he didn't show up. Now, might he have been playing with an injury that we don't know about? Well, that's part of the interview process that the Redskins will have to do. Ultimately, either one of them I would be happy with, assuming that the Redskins' interview with Vita Vea satisfies them. But if it's me at that position, I want to take a guy who I am confident could come in and make everybody around him better. Keep this in mind that the Redskins are one of the worst run defense teams in the league last year, and that caused a lot of dominoes to fall in a negative way for their entire defense. Because now all of a sudden, you end up with third and, you know, two or three, a down that you could run or pass on. Whereas if you were able to stuff the run better on first and second down, you'd end up with third and five, which gives the defense a whole lot more options. And so being able to upgrade the run-stuffing capability, especially inside, will give the entire Redskins defense better situations with down and distance. And so either one of those guys is a good, solid run stuffer that will make everybody else around them more effective.
So you don't think 13's too high for either of those guys?
No, I don't. Okay. But then again, the Redskins are evaluating with a lot more detail than me. My scouting budget is not in the millions of dollars. The Redskins is.
Okay? Oh, gotcha.
But just in watching them in college and watching everybody else that's available, if the Redskins are okay with the fact that everybody else around them that they could draft at different positions are not clearly more highly rated, then I'd be fine with them going for the position. And either one of those guys in a vacuum would upgrade that position for the Redskins.
All right, and then I got one more direct comp for you, and I know Taylor wants to ask you about the running backs. Derwin James or Minkah Fitzpatrick?
I take Minkah. The reason is Minkah Fitzpatrick, Alabama, defensive back. He can play safety, corner. He comes into nickel linebacker. I would take him because I think he's more durable. Derwin James, I love. If the Redskins pick him up, they would have to be confident that his medical is okay. But if they did, I love him too. He's one of the best pass rushers on Florida State's team, even though he also plays that same hybrid position as Minkah Fitzpatrick, where it's some corner, some safety, some nickel linebacker. As a matter of fact, Derwin James, line up at defensive end and rush the passer over a tackle. I saw him actually toss a University of Florida Gator right tackle onto the ground on the way to hitting the quarterback. And it was astonishing. So both of these guys are phenomenal in terms of
what they can bring. And Derwin's doing that at 210? I mean, how much does a guy weigh?
Yeah,
about 215. He's pretty tall, too, about 6'2", 6'3".
Wow.
And so he's a tall, lanky guy, but he's got great explosiveness. But because of that, you've got to watch out for, you know, his durability. He missed some time with an injury 2 years ago. Actually, a lot of time. He missed most of the season. But that might have been one fluke thing, and that's where the multi-million-dollar scouting budget needs to come into play to find that out. But keep in mind about these two guys. Both Minkah Fitzpatrick and Derwin James are difference makers. They're guys that actually don't just plug in and play a role. They can change a game. And if either one of them is available and the Redskins chose to pick them, I would be happy with that as well. Because with your first-round pick, you're looking for guys that are difference makers, and those two guys can do it. Especially when you've got a league where now you're running more 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, where
right.
You've got big hybrid tight ends that somebody has to run with and cover. Both of those guys can do that.
Right.
Yeah, Trevor, Doug Williams and Jay Gruden have both said that one of their goals is to come out of this draft with an upgrade at running back. It's been said this is a draft is loaded with good running backs. About what round would you think the Redskins will start to seriously look at that position?
I don't think there's a running back that I would take in the first round with the 13th pick. I think that this is a pretty deep group of running backs. But if you're looking for a difference maker, you've got to draft pretty wisely. The thing about running back, fortunately, for the Redskins is that it's not as highly valued around the league as it used to be. And teams are less likely to want to take a running back higher in the draft when they can take another position. They'll just wait and try to get a few guys in there and let them compete and see what happens in the wash, which is what the Patriots have been doing for a long time. But, you know, Darius Geis is a guy that people have talked about LSU running back, and he is terrific. But once again, I wouldn't take him at number 13 necessarily. Ronald Jones, USC's running back, is a guy that they actually had in the visit at Redskins Park. And he's a guy that I really like. The problem with Jones is that he's not really big. And I think the Redskins want a guy that they can put in there as a three-down back if they need to. And Ronald Jones, I don't think, can take all the pounding. And they've already got a guy like that that they like in Chris Thompson. So I don't know that you need another Chris Thompson at the running back position. So what does that leave you? Well, it leaves you with a couple of guys from a couple of guys from Georgia and one guy from Oregon that I think they could target that could give them that. From Oregon, you've got Royce Freeman. He's a huge guy. He's about 5'11", about 230 pounds. He's their all-time leading rusher, even though he missed most of last year with an injury. And I think that he's a guy that can give them good, steady three-down capability. He's fast enough, although he's not a real home run hitter. But he runs about a 4.54. He's fast enough. He's big enough and solid enough to do the pass protection. He catches the ball well. He's got good instincts for finding the holes and running a good pass. And I think he'll be available in the third or fourth round. Now, the Redskins would have to trade up into the third round because they don't have a third-round pick, last I checked, unless they just did something in the last few minutes. But but in the fourth round, he still might be available. And I think he would be a guy that would upgrade their running back stable. At Georgia, you've got Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. Both guys are about the same size. They're about 5'10", 5'11", and about 220 pounds. Michel is the more highly rated in the NFL because he caught more passes at Georgia. But Chubb, I think, can catch the ball well. They just didn't throw it to him much, didn't give him a whole lot of opportunities. Neither guy is a huge home run hitter, but both guys, again, are good, solid backs. Chubb is more of a powerful plugger. And Michelle is more of a guy that would hurt you in space. But both guys should be available in the second to third round. And so I think the Redskins will have options in the second round, third round if they move up, fourth round, to get a running back that will upgrade their group. If they want to go with anybody else, really, because Saquon Barkley at Penn State will be long gone before the Redskins pick.
Right.
The only guy, the other guy that they would consider to take in the first round would be Darius Geis of LSU. But I don't think that would be a smart pick for the Redskins.
And just one more name, just how does he stack up against the guys you mentioned, Kerryon Johnson of Auburn?
I love Kerryon Johnson. But once again, he's a guy I wouldn't take until we got to about the fourth round or so. The reason is that he's a tall guy. He's 6 feet tall or so. He's about 210 pounds. He runs upright, and he's got thin hips. I like it that he's able to burst to the edge, give a stiff arm, get around the corner. All those things are good, but the fact that he runs upright means that the Redskins, I think, would have to be careful about drafting him higher and reaching for him than they should. Again, higher than the fourth round or so, third round, because he's a guy that if you give him too many reps, he'll take too many hits. And so he's a guy I think that would also be an upgrade in that competition, but I would not take him as high as I would take Chubb or Michelle or Freeman.
And Trevor, just looking at Freeman, he looks like he's kind of got that pro body. I got him listed at 5'11", 230.
Yeah, that's about right. And the thing is, it's a good body as well. Some guys that are like that, built like that, are kind of tall and they're thinner in the hips. Freeman is thick in the hips, a lot like Nick Chubb. And so when you see tacklers hit him hard at an angle, he doesn't get knocked off his center of gravity. He'll just bounce a little bit and keep on going. And so that's the kind of size that is what you want in a feature back, you know. And so now they've got a guy like that in Samaje Perine, and I think Perine still is going to be a really good running back for them. I mean, they drafted him last year, and in last season for the Redskins, he showed that he's got a lot to learn about how to run in the NFL. He was at Oklahoma running in that spread offense, that air raid offense against Big 12 defenses that were all spread out.
Right.
And he had all day to go find a hole that was a mile wide, and then he could saunter on through the hole and then decide what he wanted to do 10 yards downfield when everybody else started to show up. That's not to say he's not a good running back. It's to say that the NFL is a completely different style of running. And I think that when you look at the Georgia guys, they ran that style of offense in the SEC. They'll come in more ready to contribute early. And Royce Freeman of Oregon last year under Willie Taggart ran practiced an offense that was a lot was similar to that. So, you know, I think he's got a good style to come in and contribute early as well.
Trevor, you are the man. Thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun. At T Matic is how you follow him on Twitter. And we'll be talking to you soon. Hopefully we see you before Richmond. I know you always come down for training camp for a couple days, but hopefully we see you before then.
Well, I'll be out there for the draft, so I'll see you then.
Okay,
and,
great.
JP, I appreciate you having me on. Rich and Mitch, man, it's great talking with you guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.